Welcome to the nowra.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen, and we are recording live at Triple U Studios in Nowra CBD. What is the nowra.org.au podcast? It is a series and collection of stories of the people and characters who make up the fabric of this town of Nowra. Myself, along with a number of other small businesses from our community, have been working on a project which was started by the New South Wales government called the Uptown Accelerator Project. And this was all about helping us to create a district team. Our team happened to be Nowra CBD, and giving us the skills to be able to help our district to become a better place. And so we spent 12 months training on how to create a sense of a unity and community in our district team. We launched the project in December 2025. And what we're trying to do with this podcast is to rewrite the narrative of Nowra. You'll be hearing stories from people who helped to shape this beautiful community that we live in. You'll hear stories of inspiration. You'll hear stories of hardship. You'll hear stories which hopefully make you laugh. Today, for the very first episode, we have two of our district coordinators, Ali Henry and Gemma Tribe, and we're going to hear a little bit about their stories and a little bit about the Uptown Project and how this whole podcast came to be. So without further ado, Ali, I would love to hear from you and a little bit more about the Uptown Project and how it came to be.
Thanks, Baron. Thanks for having me on the podcast. I would love to tell you a little bit more about our Uptown Project. It's a super exciting state government initiative that we were invited to take part on, as you said, 12 months ago. And we had to gather some people to come on this journey with us. So I think that was the fun part, is choosing people you know that are going to be passionate about Nowra. So there was a handful of us that went to all of these training sessions. We learnt about marketing, we learnt about certain parts of our district, and I think this process was fabulous because we weren't quite sure what it was going to look like until we went through it. So we were confused, we were excited, and we were learning. So what came at the end of it was a really community-driven project to help transform Nowra, not necessarily changing anything, but more from a collaborative side of things, a community-driven project for the community. So that was what really excited me about this project. And it's extremely collaborative. So I do think the only way we can transform the Nowra CBD is through our collaborations and our connections. And that is something I'm super, super passionate about. So the Uptown Project hopefully will last longer than the initial grant that we have given. It's a long-term project and super excited to see where it takes us.
Yeah, beautiful. And can you just talk us through some of the things that you personally learned through going through the 12 months of training?
I think what I learned, there were many things, but to articulate something that you don't necessarily know what it is, that was really interesting, is to be given the tools to do that. And it did present itself. At the beginning, you were like, oh, I don't know what this means for Nowra, but you have to look at you have to take the steps to get to the bigger picture, not the other way around. So I think that's what this project taught you, is look at this issue right now, or look at this marketing concept, and then follow the steps, have some faith, and then you will figure out what it needs to be.
Yeah, and I found it really interesting when we were going through the process. There was 25 other districts involved, and including three others from the Shoalhaven, including Berry, Huskisson and Sussex Inlet. And can you talk a little bit how Nowra and our pitch was very different to a lot of the other districts?
Yes, we are very different to all of those other districts. And I think initially we felt like we shouldn't have been at the table. Oh, I did anyway. I felt like we shouldn't have necessarily been there. We're not a tourist town. We are very different to all of those places. But then what I learned is we do have a place. We deserve to be at the table, but ours just needs to be very different. So the pitch that we did was very different from anybody else's because we needed to start from the bottom up. We needed to set the foundation of what Nowra is. It needs an identity. It needed a brand. So that was really exciting and scary at the same time. But it allowed us to be really open and free with what we were trying to achieve and not locked into events for the sake of events.
Yeah, and I think too, when I was looking at the other districts, which we've collaborated with the other districts in our area, and it's been really nice to be on the journey with them, but Nowra isn't a tourist town. It's a service town where people come for their services and then they leave. And so our challenges or our promotion was going to work in a very different way.
Absolutely. And to me, it felt more authentic, I think. Not to take away from any of the other districts. Their ideas are fabulous and they work for their towns. But Nowra needs something different to everybody else because we are unique and we're different to everybody else. So that was super exciting. And if I was excited when we started the project or the journey for the grant, I'm even more excited now that we're in it.
Yeah.
Because the journey is so fun and so good and it's so amazing for Nowra.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, too, one of the biggest things that I learnt and took away was it's important to listen to what the community actually needs, not what you think the community needs. And that is the next stage of our project, is to go through community consultation. And what we've been doing for the last 6 months, you know, going around and talking to leaders within the council, leaders within the community, listening to the business community, listening to people and saying, hey, what do you actually want and need? Because our mission is to make Nowra a better place for the people of Nowra, which differs a lot from the other districts.
Absolutely. And my favourite, I've said this saying a few times, but my favourite saying through this process was, a place is not a place until people make it a place through connection and activities. And I just think that sums up Nowra. I think every time you think you have it figured out, someone else offers another point of view, and I think it's really important to listen to them all.
Yeah, and I think ultimately what this project, I hope to get out of it, is that we helped to in some way shift the narrative about Nowra.
Absolutely.
And this is what this podcast is going to be about. It's about hearing the voices and hearing the people from Nowra who have contributed to this community and show that there is actually really good stuff happening here, and help to, you know, shift that mindset and attract new people who want to live here and start businesses here, who want to grow their kids here, but also for the people who live here, like, make them proud of all the cool things that are happening here. So in a minute, we're going to have Gemma Tribe, who is another district coordinator. She is going to let us know about some of the goals and objectives of the project from the Team Nowra perspective. And then we're going to hear a little bit about Ali's story and a little bit about Gemma's story and how they came to be here in Nowra. Welcome, Gemma.
Thanks, Baron. Look, as Ali said, this has been a long time in the making, and it really started from the ground up for Nowra, building that identity and branding first of all to set the groundwork. But we do have some really specific goals and KPIs to achieve, which are really exciting. So it's, I guess the big picture is, it's about drawing out the really exceptional things about Nowra that are beneath the surface that people don't necessarily see, and telling those stories and promoting the great things that are going on. But what that looks like in terms of our KPIs, people can jump on our website anytime and have a read of those and see how we're tracking. But basically, we're aiming to increase foot traffic in the CBD by 40%. We're building up a following on socials. We're building a network of Nowra 100, where we're getting members like local businesses and individuals who are passionate about being on this journey with us and supporting us every step of the way. And we're supporting local businesses. We're helping them to do activations. We're helping them to open at nighttime and build that engagement in the CBD and mentoring them, providing that marketing assistance and support, being a strong voice for this area. So listening, as you said before, doing the surveys, doing the groundwork, and then really kind of elevating that message and getting it to where it needs to go. If safety is a concern, then spruiking that message and getting support to address that. And whatever those issues are, we can be that collective strong voice to speak up for people. So we've got a lot to achieve, and some of the next steps are up there on the nara.org.au website as well. Things like the art walk, which is really exciting. I'm looking forward to, we've already got some big, beautiful murals in the CBD that people come from everywhere to look at, but having some smaller works in interesting places, showing First Nations artists and other local artists, and being able to take your kids around and find those and appreciate them in the school holidays and things, and, you know, giving people a reason to come into the CBD, which is what we're all about.
Yeah, yeah. And I think all of those activities are really exciting. That was part of what we worked on to develop those. The idea of the Nara 100 is, I think, a really cool framework to work with, because, you know, we talk so much about the importance of collaboration with this. And so finding those 100 really passionate people and getting them to share their voices and then contribute their energy towards this. Can you talk a little bit more about how people can join if that's something they're interested in?
Yeah, absolutely. We've personally invited local businesses, but if they haven't yet got a letter, or they're just an individual out there, maybe a creative who doesn't have a kind of a fixed address, they can certainly jump on our website and fill in the form as well. And there's a whole bunch of perks listed there too. So it's free for the first 100 people to join, and you get access to about a dozen different things, including some very cool merch, if I don't say so myself. But it's I guess essentially a club of people who are wanting to hear about events that they can support and help talk up all the good things about Nara.
Yeah, beautiful. And it's also important to note that this nara.org.au, we are like a not-for-profit organisation. We're not a business as such. We are supported by the grant from the New South Wales government at this point, but we also do want to have a long-term sustainable approach to this. So can you talk a little bit about that our structure and what people are actually getting involved with?
So the Uptown program will still run into mid next year, into 2026, and in that time we do have a bunch of projects that we'll be getting off the ground and looking for support with. That the art walk is one of them, and then, you know, beyond that, as Ali said, we want this to be a long-term project. Even once that funding has expired, that we can potentially go for round two, we can apply for other grants. We had a drop-in session here at the Art Gallery, actually, just before the big business-to-business launch of this. We had businesses dropping in, asking us what it's all about, how they can be involved, and lots of them had ideas of activations and things that they want to run. Some of them have funding to support young people and had some really cool ideas. So we're sort of collecting all of those at the moment, and if people do have other ideas for activations or events, we've help supported the Roxy reopening, and we've got a few others underway too. So yeah, we'd love to hear from people, particularly our Nara 100 members. If they have an idea of something they want to get off the ground that we can help with, then yeah, now's the time to tell us.
Yeah, awesome. And I think as we move this project forward, we do want to extend it more to all of Nara and the people of Nara. And one of the things that came up in our research over the last 12 months that people find out that there's a lot of great stuff that happens in the Nowra CBD, but they usually find out after it happens. And there's no central body that helps to promote. You know, it used to be maybe the South Coast Register or the Nowra News. You'd find out, you know, what's happening, but we seem to have lost that. It's a little bit of a disconnect. And so can you talk a little bit about in the future what we hope to be is that central place?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right in that it's a lot of our other 50 towns and villages, or the other 49 in Shoalhaven, do have kind of one community voice in some ways. Like, you know, some of them have multiple, but they usually have a group that kind of speaks on their behalf and they're quite parochial, whereas Nowra is a bit disjointed. It's got lots of different groups trying to do lots of different things, and so we do see ourselves as a bit of the glue in trying to connect those groups and those voices and amplify them, and you know, the things, as you said, that we're coming out with are evidence-based. We've sent out surveys, we're hearing from those different voices, and we're trying to elevate those things, and we hope to continue to do that. So we don't have you know, a single business that we're promoting, where we all have skin in the game in the sense that we love Nowra and we're passionate about its future success. But we're here to collaborate and to, be that glue and amplify those voices.
Yeah. And if you're hearing this and this is exciting, but you don't consider yourself like a business or a creative or don't want to join the Nowra 100, you can also just go to our website and join the mailing list. And the mailing list is where we're going to promote all these events that are happening and connect everyone. You can also follow us on socials as well. So that's really exciting to hear from both Ali about the history of the project and Gemma, the missions and objectives. But now, on this very first special episode, I would love to hear from both of you a little bit about your stories and how you came to be here in Nowra. Alison Henry, welcome to the hot seat. Henry is a famous name in the Shoalhaven area, and I'm looking forward to hearing a little bit more about that. But I'm going to open every single one of these podcasts with the same question to everyone, and that question is, what do you think is the most underrated thing about Nowra?
The most underrated thing I think about Nowra is the misconception that nothing's happening here. Lots of people drive past on their way to somewhere else. They don't necessarily stop in Nowra, and I think they're missing out because there are some great businesses here. There's amazing people here. It's very friendly, and I think that is underrated on so many levels.
Beautiful. So the Henry name has been around here for a long, long time. Ali, what is your earliest memory of Nowra?
It's funny, you sent me this question and I thought about it a lot because I am born and bred, and my dad actually married a Murphy, which is another massive name in this town. And I do often say that I bleed Nowra. But my earliest memory is my dad taking me to Darralee and getting an ice cream after school. And the other thing I really remember vividly is going to the newsagents. I don't know why it's food related, but it is going to the newsagents, which still exists, and getting a strawberry Freddo frog that were much bigger than they are now.
Me too, funnily enough. I still remember all those things, and there's a lot of nostalgia in walking down that the arcade and going down to the Darralee shop. In terms of the Henry name or the Henry dynasty in this area, can you talk a little bit about the history of your family here?
My dad is better at this than I am. But I did, this is something I found out last year that I didn't know, is that my dad grew up at, he was on many farms in Nowra. My pop had a farm on Bolong Road, which is my memories of my grandfather, Bolong Road. But my dad grew up at Arthur Boyd's house out at Bundanon. So that was quite amazing when I went there with my dad, and he was telling me stories about being in the where the piano was and sitting there listening to his grandma play the piano and catching a barge across the river to go to school. So my dad is better at the history, but it's long and we are farmers. And I've always lived in Nowra CBD. I've moved away, obviously. I went to university and saw a little bit of the world, but yeah, my heart and my soul is definitely Nowra.
Yeah, I think that unless you're still in a farming community or a farming family, I think a lot of people forgot that was the cornerstone of the Shoalhaven was and Nowra, you know, was that supply town for a lot of the farms around. Whenever we come around the Coma Bends with my grandfather, we come around that beautiful bend and we look down across Gerringong, and my grandfather always said, "Welcome to the land of milk and honey."
Yes.
I always remember that, and it's such a beautiful sentiment and reminder of that this area was founded on farmers. What do you think has changed the most in Nowra in your lifetime, and what hasn't changed?
There are physical changes, but I don't think it's the physical changes that have changed in Nowra since I was younger. I do think maybe Nowra has kind of lost its identity and its voice a little bit. It's almost like we became insecure. So we didn't know how to stand up for ourselves or speak out. I think that has changed in Nowra. But what I don't think has changed is that community spirit. It's still there. It just needs connection, as you say. It needs the glue to bring it all back together. But my dad knows so many people in the town, and he'll tell you these amazing stories. And I just hope one day I can tell those amazing stories to my children as well. So I think that's what's changed and not changed about Nowra. And I think the Roxy is the perfect example of that, just recently having reopened. It's like a perfect time capsule of Nowra, built in 1935, but it's been revamped and remodernized, and the community has embraced it and could not wait to go back to the movies. And when we posted on social media about that, what I found really interesting is that people started saying what their first movie was that they ever saw at the Roxy. And we didn't prompt that. That just came naturally from the community. So I do believe that community spirit is still there. It has not changed. It just needs to be relaunched and reinvigorated.
Yeah, that's a beautiful analogy for this community, and to see how many people came out and supported that when they could have stayed home and watched Netflix, and how many people have come out in the opening week, and all the shows have been sold out. And it's been really inspiring to see that relaunch. You have had a business or businesses in the Nowra CBD. Can you just tell us a little bit about your, I guess, trajectory to how we get to now and you working on this project?
Sure. I did have, I had Wild Tribe in Junction, no, Kinghorn Street. What street was I on? Kinghorn Street, which we used to say was the Paris end of Nowra, which still is to a certain extent. There is a really good cafe culture down that end of town. And I loved my business. It was, I don't know, I love people anyway. So I was often told that I wasn't going to work. I was going to chat to people every day, which is true. I signed a lease on my shop in Nowra and then found out I was pregnant. So I did 5 years of the shop with a baby. So Tora misses the shop more than I do because she grew up in it and she's a very social kid. But I did love it. I loved the connection with the people. There are so many good people in this town and so many good businesses. And I miss that, being a part of it. And I think that's part of why I got involved in this project as well, is because I miss that connection with the community that you get from a face-to-face. And your customers tell you, they're very honest. So they tell you what they think you're doing right and what they think you're doing wrong. So you can adjust, and you miss out on that if you're not, which is why I really love our community consultation, because whether it's good, bad or ugly, it's good to hear it. So I think that's why I'm involved in the NARA project. And I also believe that you can't just talk the talk. If you want something to change, then you have to be involved in the change. You can't just sit back from the sidelines and watch it and then criticize what's going on. Get involved, make a difference, and I want a better place for my children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when I've been reflecting on our community consultation, one of the things that came up time and time again is authenticity. And I think that's one of the things that really shone through from that was that this town is full of a lot of real people. And, you know, I lived in New York City for 8 years and there's a lot of people who are trying to be something they're not. and so to come back here and move home, I have found it really refreshing to feel that authenticity. And there's a lot of real people doing real jobs. And I think that we've really lent into that and in our branding and in our consultation when we were starting to develop, well, what, how is NARA going to show up as a brand? Authenticity was something that we lent into, and you can feel that if you own a store, because people will come in and tell you how they really think, and that's appreciated.
It is, and it's genuine.
Mm-hmm.
I think it doesn't necessarily come from a bad place. They just, yeah. And I think that's what I loved about having a business in the CBD. And you talk to the CBD businesses that still, like, they're still here. I would have loved to still been in the CBD. And I actually do think that at some point I would have a business again back in the CBD. But, you know, things changed. COVID hit. The landscape changed. And my daughter needed me not to have a shop anymore. But I do think authenticity and genuine people exist, and they support the amount of people that would come and shop in my shop and buy from me because they knew they were supporting a local family. They watched my daughter grow up in the shop. So I think that just lends itself to just the realness that we need.
Yeah.
To thrive.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of our underlying missions, probably not overt, maybe covert, is like, how do we encourage people of NARA to support the businesses of NARA and have that kind of cross promotion instead of, say, buying online or instead of necessarily, you know, going down to the big shops. It's like, how do we actually support those local businesses? Because it's a circular economy. You do well, you then go put your money back into the cafes, which then it comes back around. So I think that's something that we're going to continue to work on and part of our mission as well.
Absolutely. I'm very passionate about that side of NARA.
So has there been a moment that has left a lasting impression on you in NARA?
Oh, a lasting impression. I don't think there's one particular moment. I think this project, NARA.org.au, is going to be my lasting impression. Because I was explaining it to somebody the other day, one of my friends who I haven't seen all term, and she's like, what are you, every time I see something, it looks so exciting. I'm like, this is the best thing I've ever done in my life. So I think that will be the lasting impression, because it will influence our kids, it will influence their kids, and it will make a difference to the people of NARA.
Beautiful. And what do you hope NARA looks like in 10 years?
Oh, I thought about this. This is easy to answer. Gemma and I often talk about this, and what I would love to see NARA in 10 years' time is, you might not necessarily know what's happening in the CBD specifically. You haven't seen a calendar, a what's on calendar that says, in Junction Court, so-and-so is playing live music on this Saturday, get down to the CBD. But you just know organically that you need to go into the CBD for a couple of hours and take your kids or go and do some shopping because there is something happening. And you're not quite sure what it is, but you just know it's going to be great. And you need to go for a little bit of a meander. So that's what I hope NARA looks like in 10 years.
Awesome. And one final question that I'm going to ask everyone. Who is one person you'd love to hear on this podcast?
I would love to hear from, we could put Barry on here, Barry Henry. Brace yourself. He could tell you some stories.
Great. You've been nominated, Barry Henry. You're next. All right. Thanks, Ali. That was awesome. Lovely to hear from you. Next up, we're going to hear from Gemma Tribe and hear a little bit about her story and how she came to be here in Nowra. Welcome, Gemma. Now, Gemma, when I was putting together these questions, I realized that I don't actually know that much about you. We've been working on this project together and obviously know you from around the community and see you around a lot. But yeah, looking forward to just, I guess, to learn a little bit more about you and your life. But first and foremost, opening question, what do you think is the most underrated thing about Nowra?
Oh, without sounding too much like the castle, it's definitely the vibe. It's and I think a big part of that is the people. And, you know, you talked about authenticity before, and it's just, it's not trying to be something it's not. The people aren't trying to be something that they're not. And I think that is what I love about it the most and what is the most underrated feature.
I absolutely love that. And just a short castle story, but I've been working on a film, Be Here Nowra, in this town. And the night before we started filming, I got my crew together. Some of them were from America and all over. And we all sat down and we watched the castle together.
I love it.
And I was like, if we can capture this, the vibe of this, of Nowra, then we're going to have a successful film. And so that's kind of been our undercurrent of tone for the film that we're working on. So I love that answer.
There you go.
So yeah, what's your earliest memory of this town?
I was trying to remember I've lived on the South Coast all my life in different parts of the South Coast. And I think, catching the train to school, I would always catch the train up to Wollongong, and there were kids who would get on from Nowra, so they had a longer train trip than us. But they were always kind of bagging out where they were from, or other people were bagging them out. And so it sort of became this thing in my mind of, where is this place? And then I actually came for a job interview here about 18 years ago, and pulled up in the Berry Street car park across from here and walked up to the job interview. And the deal was that I had to move to Nowra if I got the job. And it was a Saturday morning. So my husband Dan we'd only not long been married, and he was very much a Wollongong boy by that stage. We'd both gone to uni there and were working there. And then I remember coming out to the car and saying to him, "So if I get this, the deal is we have to move here." And he was really shocked, because I think he just thought, sure, you can just drive. What's the big deal? And we walked down the main street, and then he looked in a real estate window and he went, "Yeah, I think that'll be fine." And he looked at the house prices. And we spent the day down here. We went and did different things and went out to dinner, and we went to a cafe and just, you know, we were just chatting. I think we walked along the river and stuff, and we were just talking about, you know, what would our life look like here? Can we do this? And we had well and truly decided yes by the end of the day. And then I got a call that I'd gotten the job. And so we, you know, started looking at houses. And I think at that stage we thought that it would maybe be like a 2-year thing, and then we would reassess or go back or whatever. But we just absolutely loved it. I mean, needless to say, we're still here. You know, like, what is it, 18 years later or something, we're still here. These are our people. And basically all of our dreams have come true here. You know, we've had every opportunity we've ever wanted. Dan opened a comic book shop in Nowra in the CBD and was working as an accountant. I've had loads of opportunities to do all the things I love. And I think, you know, when we first moved here, sorry, I'm probably jumping ahead to other questions, but I remember the day we moved in and we realized that we had, you know, no food in the cupboard, and we went down to the supermarket to stock up the shelves, and there was a guy in the standing in the line in front of us, and we mentioned that we'd just moved here. This was our first day, and we got chatting, and he invited us over for dinner. And we were just like, what is this place? This is amazing that everyone seems to know everyone, and, you know, we're already being invited over for dinner. And it was just it makes you want to be like that back when people, you know, you walk past and people say hello, or, you know, you can't get a loaf of bread without knowing everybody's life story. I embraced that very, very quickly. And so, yeah, we just fell in love with the place and the people, and this became our home. We've had two kids here, and we just love it.
What was that job?
It was actually working for the federal member at the time. So I went to Canberra with her. So I had a granny flat in Canberra for sitting weeks, and then lived here the rest of the time. And it was a really full-on job. It was very much 24/7. And so after a couple of years, I knew we wanted to start thinking about having kids, and I needed probably a different change of pace. And I needed to look for something else. But I remember having coffee with someone who she basically said to me, oh, look, there's only two media type jobs in this town, and you're in one of them, and the other person's probably going to die in theirs. So you're probably better off just going home, going back where you came from. There's nothing for you here. And I remember being really so down and out after that coffee and thinking, that can't be true. We love it here. Our life is here. Our closest friends, we've set up a life here. We don't want to leave. And then I think after a while of being upset, I just remember shaking that off and thinking, no, I'll make my own opportunity. And I hit up a company at the time and just said, you could be doing this, 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 and this. And they said, yeah, you're right. Will you come and do it for us? And so I think there are opportunities here, and it is, I think, as Ali said before, it is what you make it as well. And so we have had, like, for a regional area, we have had nothing but opportunity since we've lived here.
Beautiful. I love that your partner, husband, started a comic book shop as well. That's so cool.
He still draws them. He just doesn't have the physical shop anymore, which I think he's forever disappointed about.
In the last 18 years, what do you think has changed, and what do you think has stayed the same?
I think definitely that town not taking itself too seriously vibe hasn't changed, and I think more people are potentially starting to appreciate that and seeing it for what it is if they're moving from outside the area and they're coming here and appreciating that. I think there is a lot going on here, and I think people are starting to see that as well. So, you know, previously you'd sort of drive through and think, it's a holiday area, or there's just beaches, or there's just cafes, but there's actually world-class industries here. And, you know, not just defense, but advanced manufacturing and so people doing, business all over the world, but being based here. There's a lot going on beneath the surface that people don't realize, but I think that they are starting to see it.
That's, you know, part of this project too, is we want to champion some of those stories, and we want to share some of the really good things that people don't necessarily see on the surface. So you've had a business in the Nowra CBD, and it sounds like your husband has as well. Can you talk a little bit about that and some of the challenges and successes, I guess?
When we had the comic book shop, we had a really great little community around us of other shops, and we all used to get together on a Saturday afternoon when our shops closed. There's a little courtyard there, and we would have a drink together and have a chat. We had Christmas parties out there, and we all just became part of each other's lives. And funnily enough, we're still friends, so we made friends through that process, people who had shops as well, and some of them no longer do, but we still catch up for birthday parties and our kids are friends, which is really funny. Another, you know, we didn't have kids then, but now, you know, many of us do and our kids are friends. And so even though, you know, we talk about that it didn't make a lot of money, it was still so worth it, because when we first moved here, I think one of the challenges was we thought, how do people meet people at this age? Like, how do you, if you haven't gone to school here, how do you make friends with people? And you kind of have to maybe try a bit harder than like in some other areas. And yeah, I think having the shop was one way that we got really connected into the local business community. And it was so much fun, even though it was hard work. And like I said, it didn't make us a lot of money at the time. We were both kind of living out our dreams at the time. And so we do look back on it quite fondly on those days. And now, even though I run a business myself, I don't have a fixed address. I'm usually meeting clients at their businesses, or I'm hiring a space at the library or the gallery or wherever to run workshops and things. I'm still always based here. I'm still in the CBD. Dan's at South Nowra now because we run the Nowra Community Food Store charity. But our whole life is still very much in Nowra.
Yeah, it's interesting. When we were doing research and community consultation, one of the things that really resonated talking about how to revitalize a CBD was that you have to have small businesses like that with skin in the game, with economic incentive. You know, it has to be that there's support for those businesses, but also that those businesses are the lifeline of the CBD, and having more of those things, like, for example, a niche comics bookstore invites people to come into town for something very specific, and you get enough of those connected, and that's how you have a thriving CBD. That's definitely something that we are going to continue to work on with this project, is how do we invite more people like you and your husband to find spaces and find locations and then create that community around those spots. So it's definitely something that we're going to continue to work on with this project. But what made you say yes to joining the Team Nowra, Nowra 100 district coordinator position? You know, what inspired you to want to make some change here?
I think the main thing is I love talking up Nowra. I don't like it when people just unnecessarily bag it out, and I like to remind people what all the good things are, because I think sometimes we forget. And not just that it's a beautiful place, that you've got, you know, the beautiful escarpment in the background and river, but you've got best coffee, best food, best of everything right here. So I wanted to be part of talking it up and making a difference, because ultimately I want my kids to be proud of where they're from and to love it as much as I do. And yeah, like I said, I think it unnecessarily gets a bad rap. And you know, like, even the other day I was having a coffee and I left my wallet on the park bench, which I didn't actually even realize. And I went to council and I got a call from a complete stranger who'd found it, tracked me down, called me within the hour to tell me my wallet was missing. And yeah, I think what a place where they would actively track you down that quickly to find it. And yeah, I love that about this town.
And what do you hope Nowra feels like in 10 years' time?
I hope that it realises what's so unique and special about it and celebrates that there's, I think like Ali said, that there's lots going on, that there's live music, that there's space and opportunity for other people to live out their dreams if they want to try something, that they feel encouraged and inspired to do it, and that there is a lot going on, that people actually want to be here. That's what I hope for it.
Beautiful. We share a lot of the same vision. And last question, who is one person you'd love to hear, have their voice heard on this podcast?
I think, as I mentioned to you, Pastor Joe from, she's at the Shoalhaven Uniting Church at the Wesley Centre. They have their weekly community lunch on a Monday, and they just invite anybody who, whether they're homeless, doing it tough, or just lonely and want to come and have a good meal and some good company. They invite everyone down there on Monday at 12 o'clock. And yeah, going there yesterday and seeing her in action, just the way she loves this community and loves people and just gets around them and makes them feel really welcome and valued. I think she'd be a great person to hear from, not just to promote the work that she's doing, but to, yeah, she's got a heart of gold, and I think she'd be really, really good to hear from.
Beautiful. Pastor Joe, you're up next. Well, Ali and Gemma, thank you so much for coming on and getting the nervous butterflies out for the first episode of this podcast. It's been really fun putting this together with you guys and working on this project for the last 12 months, and really excited to be on a team working with other people who are sharing the same vision and the same passion for this town of Nowra. If you've enjoyed this episode, you can find more on our website, nowra.org.au. This has been recorded at Triple U Studios, which is a community radio station, which is helping us to get the word out there. And you can follow us on socials, on Instagram, Facebook. I think we even have a LinkedIn at this point. And if you're interested in being part of this community, you can drop us a line through the website, reach out to us on social media. We really do care about this community and want to hear from you too. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening to the nowra.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen. We are recording in Triple U Studios in Nowra CBD. It's a community radio station. Our producer here is Paul Murphy. Nowra.org.au is funded by the New South Wales Government Uptown Accelerator Program. If you'd like more information, visit nowra.org.au or follow us on socials, subscribe to the mailing list. See you next time.